Learning the Basics, Lesson 3, Website Vocabulary.
Hello, this is Matthew Perosi, founder of the Jeweler Website Advisory Group. The Learning the Basics course is a collection of written and recorded training intended for the absolute beginner. If you just put up a website and really need to figure out what to do and what search engine optimization and search engine marketing is all about, then this course is for you. In its printed form, the Lesson 2 Website Vocabulary is 62 pages long, so we're going to record this lesson as audio in multiple parts.
This is the third and final part, and we're continuing on page 44 with meta description. The meta description is part of the HTML family of programming tags that help with your SEO efforts. Knowing how to program it and where it belongs inside each individual page is not as important as knowing that you must have one for every page. Now here's an important caveat. Cancel your service and find something different if your content management system or your CMS does not give you the ability to change your meta description tag on every page of your website. Seriously, no joke, no control, then cancel now. This even includes the pages of your product catalog. If you do not have the ability to change your meta description on every item in your product catalog or every page of your website, then the CMS you're using is going to work against you for your SEO efforts. The meta description is a 150 character or less description of what the visitor will find on your web page. The description needs to include as much detail as possible, but within 150 characters. Assuming each page of your website is dedicated to a single keyword phrase, as I previously explained in part 2 of these Learning the Basics Lesson 2, then it should be easy to compose a terse 150 character description for each page. Google uses the meta description on the search results page. This is the first thing a potential visitor sees before clicking into your website. Your description is actually an online advertisement, and you need to keep that in mind when you're composing it. Use all 150 characters if possible. Keep it interesting. Here's an example. Don't simply use our collection of 14K gold rings. Instead, say 14K gold rings and other gold ring designs that are sure to put a smile on her face and yours. Call us at 888-872-0274 to make an appointment. That's 144 characters, including the spaces and punctuation. Quite frankly, I feel that proper meta description writing is an art form, and it requires a little training to be understood properly. But give it a try, don't give up hope, and eventually the art form will come to you yourself. Our next keyword is meta keywords. The meta keywords is part of the HTML family of programming tags that many people believe help with your SEO efforts. And it doesn't matter if you know how to program it or where it belongs inside your web pages, because it's worthless for SEO. In fact, the only thing that a meta keyword is good for is to confuse your rival jewelry store. It wasn't always this way. Meta keywords weren't always worthless. In the mid-90s, they were used as the main way for search engines to analyze your website. But unscrupulous people decided to stuff hundreds of repetitive keywords into the meta keywords setting, making their websites the most popular for that word. And then, if they wanted to gain popularity in another area, they would simply add yet another 100 or more permutations of keywords into this meta keyword field. Then around 1997, all search engines stopped using this tag for website analysis. This is publicly documented, and the directions for many search engines and how-to guides specifically says they do not use the meta keyword setting anymore. Yet, to this day, more than 13 years later, people still believe that meta keywords are important. But you know what? You're smarter than your competitor, so you're not going to use meta keywords. However, if you do have a local competitor that is always copying you, then I would recommend misleading them by putting 8 to 10 keywords into your meta keywords field. This way, if they look at your website and they analyze it, they will copy you and do the wrong thing. Use words vaguely related to the content on each page, but do not use the same words you have in your page headline. And in case you have forgotten from part 1 of Learning the Basics Lesson 2, Your page headline is what you designate as your heading 1. Moving on now with our next vocabulary term, which is meta robots. The meta robots tag is part of the HTML family of programming tags that helps with your SEO efforts. Knowing how to program it and where it belongs inside each individual page is not as important as knowing how it can be useful on every page. Here's another important caveat. Cancel your service and find something better if your CMS does not give you the ability to change your meta robots tag on every page of your website. Again, seriously, no joke. If you have no control, cancel now. You need to be able to individually control your meta robots tag on every page of your website. The meta robots tag relates back to our previous discussion on robots, or bots for short. When a search engine bot reads your website, it will first look for directions for handling your website. Using the meta robots tag, you can instruct the search engine to crawl that page for later indexing, or you can tell it to read the page and continue on to the next page on your site without indexing, or you can tell the bot to stop and go no further. Now, because this is a basic introduction, I'm not giving you the exact programming codes on how to do this, but I will give you some examples. So on your homepage, if you set the meta robots tag correctly, any bot visiting should read and index everything, then keep going. Your homepage and all the information is always important. Now, on your Contact Us page, the bot should just move on to the next page. Indexing a form page is usually not important, unless, of course, it's a special purpose page and you have 250 words or more of content on that page. Now, the next page, as an example, would be your privacy policies page. Now, the bot should just stop and not read or index this page when they get to it. There is no need to read or waste time indexing your privacy policies page. If your customers are interested, they will go and find it for themselves. Here's another way to think about it. Google does not want to waste time on unimportant pages for your website. They will index every page of your site, but if you keep this privacy policies out of their database, out of their index, they will spend more time indexing the more important parts of your website. Moving on now with our next vocabulary term, which is meta tags. Now, so far I've been describing meta descriptions, meta keywords, meta robots, and I referred to them all as tags. The HTML language includes many variations of this meta code. Each variant has a specific purpose. Some software companies will also come up with their own unique meta tags for your website. These unique tags may have a special software purpose, or they could just be for tracking and analytics. You'll commonly hear people referring to their meta tags, for example, you need to examine your meta tags to improve them. This example actually refers to your meta description tag. But if someone mentions meta tags and you don't know exactly which variation they're talking about, just stop and ask them. I can think of at least 15 variations of meta tags. And admittedly, it's easier for me to generally say meta tags than to remember specifically which meta referring to something or other tag I'm actually talking about. But if you ask me, I'll go look it up for you. So don't just assume that the phrase meta tag is referring to keywords or description. It could be referring to any number of meta variations. We've finished up with our vocabulary terms for the letter M, moving on with O now, and our first one is organic listing. Most of the things we teach you deal with the correct ways to design, program, and write copy for your website. We want you to learn the correct way so your website will appear in search engines when someone searches for your product or service. Even though your education is just beginning, you probably already know what an organic listing is, except you don't know it by name, because simply no one ever pointed to it and said, hey, that's an organic listing. All right, so what is an organic listing? Think about the layout of Google and Yahoo and how it looks after you've searched for something. Typically, you see ads at the top, you see ads on the right, and then on the left side, you see a list of pages that match your requested search. These pages are the organic listings that all websites have once they get into the search engines. These are unpaid listings, and they appear because the search engines have calculated them to be the best match for your keyword phrase that you typed in. Our next vocabulary term is PageRank. Now, I have to forewarn you, in the Lesson 2 website vocabulary of learning the basics, PageRank does take up 2 full pages of text. And this is just the basics. We spent an entire hour session during our live event, Live 1, explaining what PageRank is. But I will try to cover it in its basics right now. So, PageRank, abbreviated PR, is a trademark of Google's, and it is irrelevant to all other search engines. PageRank is one of Google's many methods for indicating the popularity of a website as a number ranging from 0, which is the least popular, to 10, which is the most popular. Now, previously in the Learning the Basics course, I explained that links from authority websites are more valuable than links from small websites. PageRank is a numerical representation of how valuable all those other backlinks are to your site. PageRank, authority websites, and link popularity are all related. The larger your website becomes, the more of a chance it will become an authority. As it gains authority status, more and more people will link to it, thus providing votes for your website. Each link, or vote, will help increase your PageRank. On a regular basis, Google will count up all the votes for you and calculate a number from 0 through 10. It might require 1,000 votes before you reach PR4, but only 100 votes before you can reach PR3. Calculating this page rank and saving it is really what gives Google the ability to answer in milliseconds rather than seconds when you search for something. You see, for any given topic, Google will usually just show you the highest page rank website in the organic results. Now, let's review an example. Every jewelry store would like to have more engagement ring business. So let's analyze why it's so difficult to compete in Google for the keyword phrase engagement rings. Search results for engagement rings returns about 14 million results in perhaps 0.19 seconds. As of this writing, which took place on January 18, 2010, the results were number 1, jamesallen.com, number 2, takori.com, and number 3, k.com, when you search for the keyword phrase engagement rings. Each of these three websites has a page rank of 4. Obviously, there aren't any engagement ring websites with a page rank of 5 because they would show up in the number 1 spot. But PageRank isn't everything. Since James Allen, Takori, and Kay have equal PageRank, Google is forced to use their other search engine optimization criteria to determine the top order. At this point, you might be wondering how many links it takes to climb to a PageRank of 1, to a 2, to a 5. No one really knows because Google keeps it a secret. Estimates claim that it takes an exponential increase by a factor of 8 to rise from one PR level to the next. The numbers are small to get to a PR1. Perhaps it's only 8 links to your website, but they grow very fast. Achieving a PR5, page rank of 5, requires more than 8,000 links to your website according to what I have measured myself. My suggestion is not to really worry about your page rank. Take care of your website, concentrate on growing your business, and the PageRank will accumulate over time on its own. Once you do achieve a high PageRank, that is something for you to be proud of, and it is something as you talk to your peers you can brag about. Feel free to. A lot of people do it. But don't get sucked into the whole PageRank argument on it needing to be the number one thing you concentrate on for your search engine optimization. And if ever a SEO professional tries to sell you a service based on increasing your page rank, you may want to look a little closer at what they're doing, because no one can really guarantee that they can increase your page rank unless they're doing some kind of a black hat technique, in which case your page rank, even if you do achieve a high page rank, won't last very long. Moving on to our next vocabulary term, which is page title. This is by far the most important place on your web page for keyword phrases to affect your search engine visibility. That was kind of important. Did you understand that? Let me say it again. Page title is the most important place on your website that affects your search engine visibility. The page title is the first thing someone reads when they look through search engine results pages, so it should be clearly written to say exactly what the page is about. The title of the page should also match your heading 1 or your H1 tag of that page, and it should match the entire topic of the page. Again, page title, heading 1, topic of the page should all match. Page title is the most important thing that someone reads when on the search engine results page. Okay, let's move on to our next vocabulary term, which is one of my favorite topics, PCI compliance. Payment card industry, or PCI for short, compliance standards were enacted on June 30th, 2003 by the major credit card companies to maximize identity theft. All right, that was kind of a mouthful. So what does that mean? This is PCI compliance is just a way to help everybody feel secure that their identity will not be stolen online. The standards say that as a merchant, you need to protect all personal information and ensure security when transactions are processed using a payment card. Your financial institution will impose a non-compliance fee if you don't submit to them the required proof of compliance. If your jewelry website accepts credit cards, you must maintain proof of compliance. PCI compliance is in your own best interest because non-compliant websites are susceptible to hacking. You'll be fined and lose the ability to process credit cards if someone ever loses their identity because it's stolen as a result of your website being hacked. We're on page 52 in the workbook. Our next vocabulary term is rank or ranking. Positioning and visibility is very important for successful advertising. Within search engines, we refer to this visibility as ranking. The higher your website is positioned on a search engine results page, the higher the rank or ranking. Google and Yahoo have secret methods of determining the best ranking for your website. They keep their methods a secret so no one can abuse the system. Every search engine optimization professional and SEO service company, including ours, is making their best guess for how to increase website ranking. The search engine results page show the top 10 web pages results at a time. Terminology is a little flexible when referring to ranking results. For example, a web page that's first in the search engine results can be referred to as page 1 position 1, or we can simply say ranking number 1. If your jewelry store ranks number 11, it actually means you are page 2 position 1. And as I said, there are 10 results per page, so any rank above 10, 20, 30, and so on is bumped to the next page. Your goal should be to achieve a rank of 1, 2, or 3 for any keyword phrase. The ranking for your website is different for each keyword phrase and variations of each keyword phrase. Just because you are ranked number 1 for the phrase engagement rings cushion doesn't mean you will also rank number 1 for the phrase cushion cut engagement rings. You have to fine-tune your SEO efforts for each and every keyword that you'd like to rank for, and it is a long and tedious process. Moving on, our next vocabulary term or topic is return on investment, or ROI for short. As an entrepreneur, I expect that you monitor all your advertising expenses. It is important to know how much profit is realized as a result of your advertising spending. This profit is your return on investment, or ROI. I've heard many advertising companies claim that you need to continually flood your message out to the population. This is an especially common claim for magazines, newspapers, radio stations, and TV stations. Of course, a continual flood of your message translates into a deluge of money spent. I've heard several advertising agencies state that a 2% response for any direct mail is a great return. Lucky for you, you are now embarking into a new era of new media advertising, where the cost of advertising is much lower and the ROI is much greater. Once you learn the proper internet marketing skills, you will be able to select the best ways to spend your advertising dollars. Internet tracking will tell you within days, sometimes even within minutes, if your advertising spending is working. If it doesn't work, just move on to the next idea tomorrow. You will learn how to calculate your ROI as you learn to read your own general website stats and analytic reports. I've seen several jewelry stores cancel their radio and TV ads in favor of a much less expensive internet advertising, which yielded 638% or more return on investment, which is extremely, extremely impressive. Okay, let's move on now to search engine marketing, or SEM for short. This is the new buzzword that a lot of people have started to use instead of search engine optimization. It's actually a more inclusive term because we use search engine marketing when we're talking about all the efforts involved with optimization. Now, this includes pay-per-click, writing good page titles, and writing good meta descriptions. SEM also includes the process of getting information about you and your jewelry store published on other websites. As you publish more information about your jewelry store, it will also show up in the search engines when someone looks for your name or your store name. More visibility, even if it only publicizes your store name, will add credibility. But you're probably wondering how this additional visibility actually creates the credibility, so let me explain. Once you start reviewing your website stats, you will quickly discover that the most popular keyword phrases that create visitor traffic to your website are actually your jewelry store's own name. As of right now, when someone searches for your jewelry store name or even your name, they should immediately find your website in the number one ranking spot. And if not, well, you already have some work to do. The point is this: they only find one website. Now imagine how impressive it would be if all 10 listings from that first page were listings, websites, or articles about your store. This could include press releases, newspaper interviews, articles you wrote, videos you published, etc. It would be very impressive, and it is very impressive, if all 10 on the first page have something to do with you. If you'd like to see what I'm referring to, try Googling Jeweler Website Advisory Group, or even my name, Matthew A. Perosi, and check out the results. The entire process is considered search engine marketing, and it is very, very valuable to get your name out there in as many different media factors online as possible. Our next vocabulary term is sitemap. A sitemap is a great way to show your visitors every important page on your website. It really is simply a well-organized list of all the pages on your website. In other words, just a list of links. Visitors might get confused and lost when you finally grow to a very large website size. Lost savvy internet users will scroll to the bottom of your website and look for the sitemap link to help them out. Sometimes we need a map to figure out where we're going. Many people are using their cell phones to view web pages. Actually, in late 2009, it was estimated 20 million iPhones and 30 million BlackBerry phones had been sold. It can be difficult to navigate a website using a cell phone, especially if the website has a lot of photos or logos on it. Many cell phone users delight to find a sitemap page on a difficult-to-navigate site. It also allows them to view an easy-to-read list of links and find what they are looking for very, very fast. Of course, it would behoove you if you just wanted to create a mobile version of your website, but that is another lesson altogether. I've also observed that not many jewelry owners will bother creating a sitemap. Smaller jewelry store owners don't see the value in it, especially since it may cost more money to have your programmer create this extra page. If you do invest in a sitemap feature for your site, make sure your programmer also creates a Google sitemap for you. The how-tos of Google sitemaps are a little technical to explain, but if you ask them, they will show you how to do it. Adding a Google sitemap to your website will ensure that Google finds and crawls all of your web pages. This also removes the guesswork and waiting for when Google will find and crawl all the pages of your site on its own. Our next vocabulary term is social media. Like search engine marketing, the phrase social media is an all-inclusive term referring to all membership websites. A membership website is one that gives you the ability to join, create a profile, and directly interact with other website members and friends of yours. Generic examples of social media websites are, of course, Facebook and Twitter and MySpace, LinkedIn, Classmates, StumbleUpon, and YouTube. There are thousands of others. You may even find a social media website specifically for your town or for your local area. Some jewelry-specific social media websites include things like Polygon and InStore Magazine, which I'm sure you're already familiar with. I urge you to get involved with at least one social media website on your own. A good starting place is to set up an account on the same popular social media website that most of your customers are using. If that turns out to be Facebook, which is very popular right now, then so be it. Create a Facebook account for yourself and then a page for your store. You should eventually join another social media website after you've learned how to do some marketing skills with the first one that you join. There are very specific methods you should use for advertising on social media networks. Keep in mind that people join specific websites to have fun. They don't want to be sold to. Your personality in any social media network should always remain professional, and you should never directly sell anything other than your charm and your smile. We're now going to have a little conversation about SSL certificates or secure socket layers. SSL certificate is our next vocabulary term. You will need an SSL certificate if you ever want to sell jewelry directly from your website and accept credit cards for payment. Before I can explain what an SSL is, I need to explain a little about how the internet works. When you visit a website, the words you see in your web browser are sent to your screen through the internet. You aren't actually directly tethered to the website. Instead, a copy of the page you requested is sent to your screen, and then the connection is turned off until the next time you click something. Normally, anything sent to your computer is sent in what we call a clear text format. Any skilled hacker anywhere on the internet could figure out a way to snoop into your internet connection and see exactly what is being sent to you. It also works the opposite way. When you fill out a form and click the submit button, your information is sent back to the website as clear text. This is okay if you are just requesting information, but it's not safe if you need to send the website your credit card number. As a jewelry store owner, you need to make your customers feel safe. You don't want them to worry about a smart hacker that can snoop in on their information as it's being sent. The way you protect them and set their worries at ease is to create a secure socket layer connection using an SSL certificate on your website. The SSL certificate will convert clear text information into encrypted information before it's sent. No one is able to hack the information, and the customer's credit card is safe. SSL certificates are available for most websites, but they cost extra money to set up. Many different companies provide SSL certificates and the service that is associated with them, but they are not all created equal. I've seen SSL certificates cost as little as $29 and as much as $900. Talk to your website hosting company for more information and the technical requirements of SSL certificates. There is an application process before you can get an SSL for your website. The approval can either be instant or it could take several days. It all depends on the type and price of certificate protection you are looking at and what you want to provide your customers with. Our next vocabulary term is URL. The initials URL stand for Universal Resource Locator. This is the shortest, fastest way to refer to a website address you see in your web browser's address bar. The URL could be a basic domain name like http://www.tacori.com, or it can be a longer name including file names like http://www.tacori.com/rings/bridal.html. Notice that I said http://as part of the URL. Officially, a URL is not accurately stated unless you include the http://, part of the website address. Without the http://, you would just be stating a domain name and not a URL. It may seem like splitting hairs, but when somebody asks you for your URL, if you don't include the opening HTTP, then it's really not a URL. However, it is really commonplace to confuse simply your website address, your domain name, and your URL. So when somebody asks you for your URL, they're typically just asking you for your website address. So if you want to simply say to them, well, it's www.jewelrystore.com, or just jewelrystore.com, you can shorten it as much as you like. But if you ever follow directions in a book or for using software and it specifically requests a URL, make sure you include the http://, part. Otherwise, things may not quite work the way you expect them to. This next vocabulary term really is important, and it represents a completely new shift in the way websites are created. The word is usability. Websites should no longer be designed to only appease your own personal likes and style. Large interactive websites should instead be designed with human-computer interaction in mind. You need to make sure the website design and layout is innately easy to understand with a high degree of friendliness. This type of design takes longer to implement and requires the talents of website designers who have experience analyzing the hows and the whys and what visitors do and what they click on and why they click on it. This entire design method and the philosophy of worrying about how jewelry website visitors click is known as usability. Even the more experienced usability expert could not design a perfectly accurate website for you on their first try. Every customer group from every area of the United States or every part of the world will respond differently to design variations. The only way to create a perfect usability design is to continually monitor and tweak a live running site, or one that has been created with a specific focus test group. Here at the Jeweler Website Advisory Group, we continually gather data on jewelry website designs that work. We track them and report on them for you. Our ideas are presented as starting points only, and whether you should implement should be tested continuously. We're going to move on now to the vocabulary words of web page versus website versus domain name. For the absolute newcomer to the internet, the differences between a domain name, a web page, and a website may not be clear. So let's explain this. Your domain name is your chosen online name. The best option for your first domain name is something that includes your store name. If your store name is Nancy's Jewel Shop, then you should try to get a domain name like nancysjewelshop.com instead of nancysjewelrystore.com. Your domain name should be chosen to match exactly how your customers refer to you. If at all possible, stay away from strange permutations like the one I just explained, Nancy's Jewelry Store rather than Jewel Shop. Whether you hire a web programmer or a designer, they will create an entire website according to your request. The website is everything you have online, including your homepage, contact us page, product catalog, photos of custom designs, etc. Whatever is uploaded and visible online is part of your website. A web page is the individual page, including the photos and graphics on that single page. Your home web page might include a welcome statement or a mission statement or a brief comment about your jewelry store. It may also include a few photos of your store and even your store logo. This page may include 5 photos and information, yet it is just a single page. So again, you have a domain name, nancysjewelshop.com. You have an entire website, which is everything your web programmer or designer has done for you. And you have the individual web page, which is each individual page that you click on for your website. Our last vocabulary term, we've made it to the end. We're on page 62 in our workbook. Our last vocabulary term is white hat. Throughout this entire lesson, I have mentioned several times that there are search engine optimization methods that should be avoided. The entire industry calls these bad methods black hat SEO. Even though this is a long lesson of vocabulary, I gave examples on several good SEO ideas. All these good methods are referred to as white hat SEO. As long as you stick to the white hat search engine optimization techniques, you should be able to quickly elevate your website to a higher and higher ranking. Well, that's it. This concludes Lesson 2, Website Vocabulary, Part 3. I hope you have consumed all of it and are awakened by the understanding that accompanies all this newly learned vocabulary. Most people don't understand all the terms explained in this lesson. Let's hope your competition doesn't understand them either. Well, until next time, this is Matthew Perosi for the Jeweler Website Advisory Group. See you soon.